Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you The Seminarians, a dialogue with students from the Pontifical College Josephinum, produced by AM 820 to encourage and inspire vocations to the religious life. And now, The Seminarians.
Welcome to The Seminarian Show. I'm PJ Brandy Marty from the Diocese of Columbus. Joining me are Alfonso Gomez and Britt Taylor from the Diocese of Charlotte. Welcome, brothers.
Thank you, PJ.
Hey, PJ.
How are yous doing today?
Doing good. Excellent.
Very good.
Flourishing.
Well, we were thinking about what topics to talk about today, and Britt suggested that I talk about the topic that I wrote my college senior thesis on, which is just war, which is pretty cool because it's a philosophy topic, it's a theology topic, and it's something that is unfortunately always popping up in the news.
Right.
Is this,
and now if the show doesn't go well, I get the blame.
Exactly. Yes.
Hashtag thanks, Britt.
So we'll explain why Britt gets the blame.
You just
after.
Did. I was the one who told you to do it.
Oh, but there's more to that.
Britt's why we can't have nice things.
So, well, Britt, let's have some nice things. Why don't you start us off with some holy prayer?
I'll try. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Dear Lord, we come before you today thanking you for the gift of our lives, for the gift of every life. We ask that you help us to respect all life in accord with your will, and we ask the intercession of your mother as we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Our Lady of Peace,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Well, so I was talking to Britt the other day, and one of our professors came up and started talking to us. And this particular professor is unique because he's not only a priest, he's a retired two-star admiral in the United States Navy. Mm. He used to be the chief of chaplains. And in addition to those two unique distinctions, he also has the distinction of being one of the foremost just war philosophers in the world right now.
So this sounds like a big deal.
It is a big deal.
Okay.
It's a really big deal. Just War is one of those things that...
He's teaching that class right now, right?
He is teaching that class.
That's
unfortunately,
awesome.
My schedule conflicted, and I wasn't able to take it.
Yeah, there's like four people in there right now.
Yeah.
Chris Yackel, our classmate, is one of them. Shout out to Chris Yackel, by the way.
Shout out to Chris Yackel, a United States Air Force second lieutenant who will be a Air Force chaplain.
That's right.
In the very near future.
So Columbus gets him for...
Columbus will get him for a couple years, 3 to 5 years, and then he'll go and serve time in the Air Force up to probably 20 years or so, and then he gets to come back to retire and
that's wonderful.
Work in parishes here.
Because they need vocations, too.
The military is really struggling with vocations. They have to use a lot of the bases use priests from just in whatever diocese they're at to actually come in and say Mass because there are so few Catholic priests as military chaplains, they can't staff the locations they have. It's especially difficult for the Navy because the Navy has not only bases like the Air Force and the Army, they also have ships. And there obviously aren't enough priests for a priest to be on every ship, so they usually put them on aircraft carriers.
Sure.
And what they'll do is they'll helicopter the priest out to different ships. But the issue there is now we don't even have enough priests to man the aircraft carriers.
Wow.
So a lot of our Catholic brothers and sisters in the military are being ministered to by either Protestant chaplains mm-hmm. or by enlisted people who are specifically trained to answer questions about various faiths.
So not only will Chris be busy, but he needs to know this stuff very
absolutely.
Well.
True. So
yeah.
Speaking of, let's get back to it. And so who is this expert that you were hinting at before?
So the expert is the priest that I mentioned, Father Lou Iazzello. He has expanded just war theory
right.
immensely. He's added an entire new branch to it.
We would be remiss to not mention that he is also a Franciscan. Our producer is waving, as a Third Order Franciscan, waving his arms that we failed to mention that one.
Make me an instrument of your peace.
Indeed.
Right.
We should also mention that he's the one in charge of pastoral formation at the Josephinum. So he is the one who assigned all of us to the radio. So we have to do a good job if we want to keep talking to you guys. So me saying that he founded an entire new branch of this theory isn't really saying much unless we talk about what the theory really is. So I guess we should probably do that. This point?
Yeah, I think that would be great.
I think yeah. that's fitting. So, what is just war?
What is just war?
That's a good question. Just war is a philosophical theory that says essentially that war in and of itself can be just. It can be appropriate to undertake as long as certain conditions are met. Traditionally, this has been around for a very long time. What's unique is it's almost entirely Catholic in the way it came out. Because back in the day, in the ancient times, war was just war. You went to war for anything. You went to war for land, for money, for power. It wasn't really until Augustine and St. Thomas Aquinas started talking about justice in war that we started to get this idea of just war.
Right.
So, obviously, St. Augustine, great philosopher of the medieval era, as well as St. Thomas Aquinas, they really set out some definitions, and there's two main branches of this. So there's what's called jus ad bellum, which is Latin. It means justice in going to war. And there's jus in bello, which is also Latin. It means justice in war itself, or justice in the prosecution of war.
So the difference, basically, when can we go to war versus how do we actually enact, once we're in it, where we've established that, you've got two different realms of justice to worry about here.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And there's an important moral principle that I think we should address, and we've been talking about this in our morality classes for the last couple years. When you're dealing with morality... and Alfonso could probably back me up on this.
As our local moral theologian on this show.
Yes.
I didn't bring my summa today, so.
You don't have it memorized? You're a bad moral theologian.
Well, so. Continuing.
So when we're dealing with morality, we're always dealing with a lot of different things. We're dealing with what we're doing. We're dealing with how we're doing it. We're dealing with the situation surrounding it.
Right.
For something to be morally just or morally right, all of those things have to be good.
Yeah.
You could do a good thing. Like, let's say you want to give, you're a millionaire. Let's say you give $1 million to the poor. That thing is good in and of itself. However, if the only reason you're doing it is so that you can build up your empire so that you can do future injustices to people later, well, that makes it morally unjust act.
Very extreme right. example.
It's an extreme example.
That's what happens with the cartels in Mexico. You know, they to gain favor with the locals around, they give them a lot of money, and the locals who are poor, they begin to protect them.
Yeah, so it's
it's pretty crazy.
Pablo Escobar, is one of those. So many people say it's hard to put him into a category because he's easily one of the most evil terrorists that's ever raged in South America with the numbers of people he's killed, but he gave so much money to the poor, so much money to the church to help the poor. He built hospitals and schools. So you have a lot of people going, he really wasn't that bad. It's like, well, no, he really was that bad.
No, yeah.
Like you could do all these nice quote unquote things with your money, but the only reason he was doing it is to win the people's favor so he could continue poisoning the Western world with cocaine and making just obscene amounts of money for himself.
And that's why that criteria for morality is so helpful for us, right? So we can actually see what's objectively good and what's bad.
Yep. You're listening to the Seminarian Show on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. You can hear the show every Tuesday at noon and Sunday at 1 p.m. and in the audio archives at stgabrielradio.com. I'm P.J. Brandy Marty from the Diocese of Columbus. Joining me are Britt Taylor and Alfonso Gomez from the Diocese of Charlotte, and we are talking about just war. So, Alfonso brought up a really interesting point when he mentioned the the drug cartels. And we often hear the term war on drugs. Mm. What do you guys, before I start to get into it, do you think that there could ever be a just war on the cartels?
Well, when you look at the principles of just war, isn't one of them that there has to be a competent authority, which is where there's a really kind of a gray area where the idea with this is nations declaring war on another nation. So the prime example of a just war is World War II, where
indeed
the United States was declaring war on the different Axis nations, specifically one of them being Germany, where there was this clear competent authority for them to declare war on. With the cartels, it's kind of hard. You can't, as much as I would like to, I, Britt Taylor, can't declare war on Alfonso Gomez, even though I've
tried.
Because
he would lose.
Wow. That got a lot darker than I thought it would. But because Alfonso, and this part might be true, is not a competent authority, at least in that regard. He might be on other things, but...
No, it's you guys actually brought up a couple very important points. So this all falls under the idea of justice in going to war or jus ad bellum. In order to do that, there are a lot of criteria that have to be met. The first is there a competent authority that you can go to war with? So a competent authority in the realm of just war is almost always going to be a government, a sovereign government entity. Perfect example is World War II. We went to war with Germany, with Japan, and with Italy, mm-hmm. Because those are sovereign governments that everybody recognized as sovereign governments, and we were not the aggressor. I know that there will be people who debate that.
Conspiracy
but,
theories.
Indeed, but we were answering a attack on our soil, and through the treaties resulted in us going to war with all three of these countries. But bottom line, there is a competent authority that we can go to war with. Mm-hmm. With the cartels, and even with many of these terrorist organizations such as Al-Qaeda, we can't really go to war with them because they aren't governments. Mm-hmm. They're terrorists. They're cartels. They're not seeking they're not a state. So really what we're engaging in is, from a philosophical standpoint, a police action.
Okay.
Now, there's another point that Alfonso brought up.
Inadvertently, it seems like.
Inadvertently, but it's a very good point. Alfonso said, if you go to war with me, you'll lose. That's actually a really important point in just war. You can't go to war if you know you're going to lose. That would be unjust because it would be unjust to your people to cause suffering, that type of suffering for no reason. There has to be some probability of success.
Right, that's irrational. To engage in war and to not have the possibility of winning, it's like, why would you do that? That's completely against reason.
Well, it really stems from our human dignity, where when you are as a competent authority declaring war, you also have to take into mind that the people that you're going to send are human beings.
Yeah, they're people.
Who, as we all know from our creation by God, we have God-given human dignity, mm-hmm. which is why you have to respect their lives. And if you're going just to have this power-hungry move and you have no chance of winning, it really... at the core of it is showing that you don't care for human life. And that's why we're calling it an unjust action.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Finally, obviously one of the biggest points of this is there a just cause to go to war? So if you're thinking about going to war, is there a just cause? We were discussing this before the show. A lot of times the facts that go into these criteria can be debatable. So let's use, North Korea as an example. There have been many times and well documented over the last year or so where North Korea has taken some type of provocative action against the United States. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of debate as to if that's actually a just cause to go to war. Because on one hand, you have somebody who is essentially holding a loaded gun and pointing it at you. And saying, I'm going to shoot you.
Right.
But on the other hand, there's debate on whether or not he can actually fulfill that.
Actually fire, quote unquote, loaded gun.
Exactly. Yes. So they have nuclear weapons. They have these things. They're threatening to use them against us. So there's a reasonable amount of debate as to whether or not the fact that they are really able to attack us could happen.
Sure.
So all those things need to be to be flushed out before a just war could ever be prosecuted.
Does it just cost need a first act of aggression in order to engage? Like,
not necessarily, but there needs to be some. There needs to be a just,
because like Pearl Harbor, you know that. So yeah. You immediately
when we were attacked,
immediately when when the base in Hawaii was attacked, then that's when we engaged.
So this and I'm sure if you've ever seen military movies, you'll hear the term preemptive strike.
Yeah.
Preemptive action is not necessarily immoral, but you need to have a lot of evidence to back it up. Obviously, you don't have to just sit. If you know someone's going to come into your house and break down your door and kill you, you don't have to sit there and wait for them to break down your door before you take action. But what you do need to do is you need to be 100% certain that that action is going to happen before you can do anything about it. And that's very difficult.
Yeah.
Because you can't just go up and punch somebody in the face just because you think they might hurt you. And it's the same thing with warfare. We can't just start a war because we think somebody might start a war with us.
Have you ever seen the movie Minority Report?
Yes.
So that's like kind of the big question in that movie. So
which one's that?
It's the idea. So there's this. It's a futuristic film that the police agency is able to predict the crimes before they happen, and so they go and arrest the people before they actually commit the crimes.
Oh yeah.
And so they take a preemptive strike, but then they find out that there's a Minority Report that actually they didn't, or they chose not to commit the crime. They chose the other way, and so it kind of deals with this like, are we predestined, or are we fated, or do we have free will?
Yeah.
So it's a really cool movie, and it talks a lot about that issue, mm-hmm. about preemptive striking.
So, can you ever be just in being a sort of aggressor, and I guess for lack of a better term, with this preemptive strike?
I mean, it's certainly possible, but you need. So a good example would be the times that America has intervened in these humanitarian crises, where, for example, there's a country that's committing genocide against one of its populations. They have not done anything to harm us directly, mm-hmm. but we are just in going in there in that situation because we are protecting. We're fulfilling
solidarity.
Exactly. Yeah. And we're fulfilling the government's. So every government is there to protect its people. Mm-hmm. We're stepping in. There have been many times where other countries have stepped in because another country is not fulfilling its obligation to its own people.
So going back to that, what we've kind of established as the clear-cut example, World War II. Let's say in some reality, Pearl Harbor never happened. But given the atrocities that we now know, and there's debate about how much we knew at the time, going on in Germany, would it have been just for us to go in without something like Pearl Harbor to pull us in?
Instigating that.
I would say so.
Can you explain why you would say?
Yeah, so there were a lot of factors in World War II that led to America's involvement. First of all, Germany was clearly an aggressor, and they were an aggressor against one of our closest allies, Great Britain. We have treaties with a lot of countries, and had we had those treaties in place, it would have been just for us to go in and just as it would be just for you to protect your friend from an aggressor if you know that your friend is not able to defend himself. Mm-hmm. It's always just to act in defense of another if you know that you're able to act in their defense.
Again, you still have to think about your own. Can you win this?
Exactly, yeah. If I'm going up against a UFC fighter, and you guys come and see me about to get into a little fisticuffs with a UFC fighter, probably not a good idea for you to get involved. It's not going to be helpful for anybody. It's just gonna hurt you.
PJ, I would like to think that at this point in our relationship, you would know I would probably be on the other side, pushing him towards going after you.
just because it'd be entertaining.
Exactly.
But you're talking about a principle of proportionality, aren't you, when you're talking about?
Yes, yeah. And that's where it's very complicated.
You're right. I can start to see that.
Yeah. Because we're not necessarily talking. we're talking about proportionality, not proportionalism. Proportionalism is bad. Proportionalism is saying, you know, this could be better than that, so we might as well do this.
It's no bueno.
It's no bueno. But and so we've only been talking about justice in declaring war, which, believe it or not, is the easier thing to figure out. There's also justice in the prosecution of warfare.
Right.
This is where it gets really difficult because we have to answer a lot more questions here. Can we – so even though we've figured out that we can go to war with somebody, if we can't win the war, if we don't have a reasonable belief that we can actually win the war, if we can't use proportional force – if we can't provide reasonable protection for non-combatants and civilians, if we can't ensure that we aren't committing criminal acts in the prosecution of warfare,
mm-hmm.
it renders the war unjust. So, for example, the United States is the most powerful military that has ever existed. Our conventional weapons alone could destroy the world probably many times over, not to mention our nuclear capabilities. But just because we're involved in a conflict with another nation doesn't mean that we can just start launching nuclear weapons. That would not be just.
Right.
Because even if we're just in going to warfare, for entering into warfare with another country, we can't use unjust means while we're at war with somebody just to win the war. So,
yeah.
Does that make sense?
No, it does. Yeah, but there's and one of my main questions, I guess, is, you know, this is the criteria from the church, right? Which it's based in, like, by reason and by what Christ has said from scripture and tradition.
Yes.
But does the UN or any other international organization, do they use our criteria, or do you know of anything like that?
Yes and no. Okay. So it's one of those difficult things.
By Can we just use partial parts of our criteria?
By far, the Catholic Church is the main purveyor of this theory. They're the ones who are constantly out there pushing it. But as when we think about it, we are really blessed. The majority of us will never see, God willing, we have never seen war. The majority of us never will see war. We live in a country that is defended by the best trained soldiers, sailors, Marines, and airmen the world has ever known. We have weaponry that deters our enemies. We live in relative peace, and the rest of the world lives in relative peace. When was the last time you saw one nation go to war with another nation? It rarely, if ever, happens.
Right.
We have terrorism, which is an entirely different issue. But for the most part, year after year after year, when you look at these human development surveys, warfare has essentially disappeared. And that's a wonderful thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we just need to be – and it's because of the church's stance on warfare and her teachings that we've really been able to discuss all these things with all these different entities.
Because we now have the criteria. It's no longer just my opinion, my national pride versus your national pride. This is just this – there's actually objective things that have been established by kind of an outside, well, ultimately this is stemming from Jesus Christ, so an outside ultimate authority in our Lord and Savior. But now it's, like I said, it's no longer just opinion, he says, she says kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know I have a question for both of you. This seems like a very highly political issue, but why as priests do you guys think that like we should be well-versed in this, you know?
I think it kind of stems back to what I was hinting at with the what was the principle you were mentioning, PJ, about the enacting war.
Ad bellum.
In bellum, I think is what I'm thinking of.
Oh, you mean during war?
During war, yeah.
Yeah, use in bello.
So basically the idea of it all stems from human dignity, where we've got the Catholics have obviously the pro-life movement, and that's conception to natural death. And it really stems into this where natural death, there's obviously just times where self-defense and things that we've talked about in just war where it might be morally permissible to take another life. But really, the human dignity is the utmost of importance. And that's what priests are ultimately preaching each and every day when they're at the pulpit or Sunday with really all the confessions too, at the time of the confessional, every sin in one way or another is going to destroy human dignity. Mm-hmm. And that's why something like this is so important, because it really, at the core, at its fundamental principle, is dealing with this notion that God has created us and we were created good. So yeah, we have to respect that creation.
That's beautiful.
And it's, I want to, I'd be remiss if I didn't bring this up. We spoke a little bit before about the new area of just war, jus post-bellum, justice after war, and it gets right to the heart of what Britt is saying. It's all about the dignity of the human person. There's 7 points that Father Iazello has really talked about. I'm just going to mention them real quick, and just think about them. These are truly getting to that idea of human dignity. Having a healing mindset after the war is done. Just restoration. Safeguarding the innocent, respect for the environment, justice in the prosecution, transition of our warriors to civilian life, and studying the lessons of these wars. These are all really important and good things that need to be done once a war is complete. Well, we have certainly run out of time today. I'd like to thank you guys for being here and talking about this, and I'm going to throw it over to Alfonso for a closing prayer. Alfonso.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
O God, who has revealed that peacemakers are to be called your children, grant, we pray, that we may work without ceasing to establish that justice which alone ensures true and lasting peace. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you very much for joining us for today's Seminarian Show. You can hear this show every Tuesday at noon and Sunday at 1 p.m. and in the audio archives at stgabrielradio.com. Thank you so much. May God bless you.
The Seminarians is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of the Seminarians and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com.
Then Son.